Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast. Jordan River here today with you. I've got a wonderful episode with Dan from Mandalorian Genetics and Autoflower.net. It's kind of a combo between a breeder feature and a feature of his awesome cannabis growing community, Autoflower.net. It's a wonderful episode. I'm loving these breeder features. Before we jump into today's show, got to give a little love to Danny Danko, today's sponsor, everybody. Danny Danko's new book, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. You can get it by going to growcastpodcast.com/Danko. It is a wonderful book with a great overview of growing cannabis. Definitely designed for beginners, but also great for expert growers to make sure you're keeping up on the basics, make sure you're keeping up on all of your fundamentals, people. Also, Bloom level members of mygrowpass.com get their book signed by Danny Danko himself. That's right. You just got to write us when you purchase it and you get yourself a signed copy. Very exciting. But either way, make sure to check out growcastpodcast.com/Danko to see the book, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana, by the lovely ex-Growcast guest and hopefully another Growcast guest, a return guest in the future, Danny Danko. All right, everybody, let's jump into today's show. I wish you the best of luck this weekend and beyond. Thank you all so much for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about the show. Share Growcast, make sure you're subscribed, make sure you've given us a rating and review, and check out our other shows, The Homegrown Helpers, Rob Smith's Cannabis Growing Show, and my new show, The Coffee Health and Science Podcast. Go give me a rating, guys. It helps. We're just getting started. What do we have today? We have a breeder feature, but it's a little bit of a hybrid episode. I'm really excited to speak with Dan from Mandalorian Genetics and Autoflower.net. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. I'm loving these breeder features. I'm loving talking to autoflower growers. And I also love to talk to people who put together online communities. So you check a couple of those boxes, man. Let's first give out the URL. What do we have here? Autoflower.net. Is that the site?
That is correct.
Oh, and you guys have been around for a while, right? You're pretty well established, I'd say.
Yeah, we've been around for a few years there. We got a pretty good online community of resources and people to gather information on, you know, growing autos better and, you know, potentially furthering their staple in the community.
Nice. Absolutely. And then your line of strains, Mandalorian Genetics, this is a relatively new venture for you, I understand?
Yes. Yes, it is. I've been working with autos for quite some time. 10, 11-ish years, and I wanted to make sure that my stability was there and that my product, that in the product was what it said it was and not just a bunch of hype. So put together a few, you know, did some work for a few years and got to the points where I was getting good feedbacks from testers and then decided to found the brand.
Nice. Love it. Mandalorian Genetics, everybody. Check it out. You got a couple of autoflower strains up there right now. They look really, really nice. Who carries you, by the way? Where can my listeners find your work?
DC Seed Exchange carries me as well as Oregon Elite Seeds. Both of them carry stock in 2 to 3 of my current cultivars that I offer.
Nice, man. Nice. So we're going to talk about those strains. If you want to find them on Instagram at Mandalorian Genetics, so you can see what we're talking about. Let's just start with autoflowers in general, man. Why are you so passionate about autoflowers? Why are you so passionate about breeding? I know you're big into the medical field and getting medicine into the patient's hands, but don't let me put words in my mouth. Why are you so passionate?
Autoflowers, the passion behind it, because I guess I saw potential in them when very few people did. And, you know, as working with them and
that's a good way to put it. Sorry to cut you off right away, but yeah, they were, man,
no,
they were really crapped on for quite a long time, huh?
Well, and they were, and so it's completely understandable. I mean, the early varieties that were offered to people weren't the best example of what the potential could be, but I knew that, you know, with a little bit of work and a little bit of emphasis from some outside, you know, genetics, it could be something pretty special.
That's really cool, man. So you really, really pride yourself on stability, which I assume is a big part of autoflower breeding to begin with. I'm sure a lot of photo people don't even really have to, I'd imagine anyways, put as much work into that stability as an auto grower, and an auto breeder, you really, really want that stability, right?
That's correct. You know, one of the biggest complaints that you hear about autos is the simple fact that they're not stable. You see multiple phenotypes and, you know, it's not like where you got a clone mom where she's going to turn around and be the same, you know, same terp prone five.
Right.
Same, you know, so the stability thing, not only for, you know, to minimize diversity, but also to make sure that we're not saturating the market with a bunch of less quality.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And especially if someone's going to grow their autoflower for the first time, I'd imagine that a lot of the autoflower consensus came from people trying it once, probably not having access to a lot of good genetics, and then, you know, goofing it up and then being like, oh, this is crap, I'm never going to try this again. And then, you know, post online all their story 100 times.
Correct. You know, I mean, that's what you hear. You hear, you know, dwarfing them or hermaphrodites because of, you know, low quality. All of those things were major detractions for the original autoflower movement. And of course, that reputation, unfortunately, has stuck around for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's changing now, so I'm really happy about that. What's going on at autoflower.net before we dive into your strengths? What can my listeners find? What are you focused on?
Man, I would have to say it's really not one focus. Over the years, it's kind of diversified itself as a platform for people to find knowledge who are just getting into autoflowers and want to figure out how to grow them, all the way to gentlemen like myself, from independent breeders all the way up to commercial breeders, sharing their new strains, the stuff they're working on. You can watch these strains be developed from an initial F1 cross all the way out to what's released to the market.
Well, that's
there
cool.
Is a, yeah, it's pretty, it's great. It's nice to see that community. You got people there to help you diagnose sick plants. You know, as a beginner, you don't know what deficiencies and toxicities all look like, because everything really looks the same in the mentality of my plant's sick, help me. And there's right. A lot of guys on there that share several years and decades of knowledge to basically, like, you're going into urgent care symptoms, you know, can you help me try to figure this out?
Right. The forum though. So it's a forum platform that seems to be the real shining light of autoflower.net. You plan on expanding that at all coming here? Or you like where it's at?
You know, that community is based upon the form. It's where it grew from. There's a lot of test reviews and new product testing that comes onto the market is shared on there. And then currently there's a sister site in development for basically not pitting, but showing these items against, you know, several different growers using the same product just to see different
results.
Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah, and that site is starting to get its way and moving on and moving forward. Actually, they have a lot of grow battles on the sister site, and
it's kind of nice to see. Maybe a podcast there would be good.
Yeah, that would be great. And I tell you, I'll give you the URL for that, and it's hott.com, and it's High of the Tiger, and it's like a sister site to AFN. And yeah, the gentleman that you know, it's his brainchild. He's one of the other founders of AFN, and it's starting to do good things there too.
That's really cool, man. I think challenges and games and competitions like that are going to get big. I feel like right now everyone's just trying to get a handle on like the legalization and learning to grow and all that. But I already see with shows like Operation Grow and, you know, Dude Grows does some really great competitions and stuff like that. I think that's going to be the future of cannabis entertainment and like tournaments and stuff like that. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, especially as, you know, prohibition is falling state by state, and, you know, other locations are starting to open up the ability for people to home grow. I think that is really where the future's at, because, you know, everybody likes a good competition. I don't think we see enough of it, you know,
totally.
Too many participation trophies these days.
Yeah, absolutely. let's talk about your strains. I'm looking at a couple right now. You've got the Alf number 5. And you've got the Anvil. Now, the Anvil is probably your more popular strain, correct?
Yes, due to her color.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice. Why don't we start there with the Anvil? What do you like about it? What are the attributes that really stood out to you? You know, where did it begin?
So I'll just go ahead and start on where it all began. Years ago, back when I started, you know, chasing autoflowers and wanted to see what they were all about, the first strain that I purchased was claimed to be a purple cultivar, and as you could probably assume, it didn't show any slight hint of trying to flip over to purple. So it frustrated me.
Mm-hmm.
It frustrated me. So I began the hunt for something that was going to do that guaranteed trait, and I did a lot of research on where those, where the color actually comes from and who are carriers of those specific traits. Because if you take a little bit of time and do a little bit of research into the development, you'll see that a lot of the color influences seem to me, from my experience, come from the indica side of things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Anvil actually has five different types of indica in her.
Really?
Indica influence over the 5-year selection, 6-generation process.
Ooh, love it, man. So you achieved that desired color. I am a big fan of purple myself. I'm a big fan of indicas myself, so that makes me happy. That's great. You were happy with the way it turned out, obviously. What can you tell us about how it grows? Any advice you have if someone picks up your seeds as far as a high feeder, a low feeder, likes colder, likes warmer, anything like that?
So she is a heavy feeder. She does like to eat.
Now, is that rare for an otto? I think my understanding is ottos are a little bit less of heavy feeders, or am I misremembering that?
No, you are correct. Your typical ottos, from my experience and even some of the other stuff that I'm working on, they're generally light feeders. Something with Anvil, as she got further down the line, she started wanting to eat more.
Nice.
It definitely likes a lot of potash and phosphorus. Mm-hmm. In the transition period. So once they go from sexing into pre-flower and right into the early bud, right into early bud set, I would say a nice phosphorus boost and a nice, potassium, potash, things of that nature, she'd really, really benefit from.
Man,
and a little touch of cow mag too. If you guys got some cow mag out there, or if you're organic growers, calcium carbonate, Epsom salt in the soil, those type of things she tends to respond to very, very well.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. Anvil, if it's a high feeder and it's named Anvil, I assume that was a nod to the yield that you get from it?
The yield, and I would say the resultant high. It's high in 3 terpenes that are known for sedative and calming. And forgive me for not having that information in front of me, but I do have it listed in my descriptions for the seeds on seed bank sites.
So it's like an anvil fell on you, like a big cartoon anvil.
Yeah, we can say that. I'll go with that.
I love that, man. I love that. That is definitely my type of strain. I get this, and I feel like that's kind of been the traditional heavy hitting indicas, maybe because of prohibition and everyone wanted bang for their buck. And, if they were going to go and risk going out to get a bag of weed, they wanted it to be strong. This new wave of long running sativas and daytime smokes, it's really great. And I love all those new flavors, but I am such a sucker for the fucking chronic that you just hit it and it's so heavy, so indica that you can barely keep your eyelids open. I am a traditional stoner in that manner. So Anvil sounds like right up my alley, man. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I think you'd enjoy it. And, the big thing for me is I'm the exact same way. At the end of the day, we talked a little bit. I got a little bit of an IT background, and my brain constantly goes 24/7 and never really shuts off. So I needed something to sedate me at night, to shut that brain off, say, okay, it's time to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's time to actually relax and recharge. And she provides that, I know, for me. Everybody's endocannabinoid system's different.
True.
And it's going to react a little bit differently. But those are the things that I can attest from the reviews I've gotten from other growers as well as for myself.
Love it, man. Love it. Let's see here. Alf number 5. Let's move on to Alf number 5. Also very impressive looking. What can you tell us about Alf? What do you like about it? How did it get started?
Alf was pretty much the same thing. I was looking for a heavy yielder. I was looking for tighter, denser buds, and to provide a foundation of a breeding platform, something where somebody can get a hold of it and use it to fundamentally build something to suit their needs. Mm-hmm. It's stable. It produces a great resin content. She's tested up to 21% THC on multiple different harvests. And she's just a really, really good breeding resource and building block for somebody who wants to learn about ottos. And that's also, just a small segue into that is why I also release regular seed. Feminize is great, because it takes out the guesswork. And I have nothing against feminization. I think it's a fantastic thing once it's been done correctly. But I also like to give those people that ability to play a little bit at home too, encourage that. You know, it's like taking to fish and making sure they can catch a fish.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I see now is so many people trying their hand at this, which makes me really, really happy. I say the more the merrier. Are you a humble individual? You kind of sound like a humbler guy because, and let me say that you're not, it seems like your aspirations are like reasonable and like practical. You're like, I couldn't find a good purple strain that was auto flower. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's kind of a loaded question to, it's not trying to make you look good or anything, but you know what I'm saying? You're not on here like my strains are the fucking best. I spent the longest time doing them and you know what I mean?
I absolutely do. And thank you for that. I appreciate it. You know, and I like to bring the approach to make it accessible for somebody who can either purchase the seed for me or through the seed banks or somebody, you know, somebody who wants to get a start and doesn't have that money and they need access to it and they can afford to do it one time and then continue down that line. Mm-hmm. And I just, this is a community, man. You know, it all got started because of a community. We were all in it for the plant rather than selfless, you know, mm-hmm. selfishness. And if I can be one person in a crowd of, you know, however many, it's just like, hey, listen, you know, let's do this together. And so be it.
Man, I love it. You're speaking my language. I absolutely love it. Before we jump back in with Dan from Mandalorian Genetics, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Harvest Mutual Seed Bank. Everybody, just go to harvestmutualseedbank.com. Listeners to this show use promo code GROWCAST and get free shipping. And members of mygrowpass.com get free shipping plus 10% off all their seeds. They're also giving away seeds for our 5K giveaway. Harvest Mutual is GrowCast's choice seed bank for top quality genetics from the best breeders in the world. They provide rare novelty seed from the best players in the game, and their goal is to provide an unrivaled customer experience and a tremendous amount of value through their online store. Their founders have had over 30 years of combined experience in the industry in all facets, and they're happy to help you with any questions you have with your purchase. So, harvestmutualseedbank.com, GrowCast as the promo code for free shipping just to listen to this show. And when you're ready to save 10% on all your seeds, plus free shipping, mygrowpass.com. Harvest Mutual, everybody, go check it out. All right, let's get back to the show. But sorry, back to the ALF itself. What about the traits of this guy? Is this another heavy feeder or is there anything we're going to want to watch out for?
Nothing too major to watch out for. She's not as a heavy feeder as Anvil is, by any means. She can take the extra food a little bit. It won't really, you know, nitrogen claw on you. The tips won't burn. But she's more of the well-balanced, more traditional autoflower with a little bit of an uptick. Yield and resin production.
Nice. Loving it, man. Absolutely loving it. Now, you're working on a new strain. I mentioned you have another strain of, I remember you mentioned that you have another strain available that's not currently on the page that I'm looking at. What do you want to talk about in terms of your other strains? What do you want to promote?
So I've actually got three more that I've been working on. One of them just needs to be a reproduction of the inbred line. It's actually taken off very well because it's got a high percentage of CBG, and that is the gem. Mm. And it's a really good medical strain. I've heard great feedback on nausea, cerebral pain, oral pain, even a little bit of like nerve pain as far as like sciatica and a few other back pain problems that I've gotten from a few people that have run the line. Nice. And have tested it. And it's actually been, I've had the fortunate experience of having it in the recreational market or in the commercial market here in Washington. And it's got great reviews back as far as like a good, well-balanced medication. It doesn't have a high percentage in THC. It's only 13%, but I think it's the meld and the synergy of the two that's really great, especially for patients. And a lot of times that line usually gets given away a lot by me because just get it into the hands of people who need it.
Nice. What was the name of that strain?
It's called Gem.
Gem. J-E-M. Okay. Awesome. Love it. Gem. What else are you working on?
So I have Bobby's Widow, which is a white widow cross. And I had the fortunate honor of taking second place with that in an overall flower at the first Autoflower Cup this May.
Nice.
So that may be the one. the one thing I toot my horn on a little bit. I didn't expect it, especially when I was up against a few of the bigger guys in the name or in the game. So it was very humbling and an honorable experience all at the same time.
Let's talk about that for a second. Was the competition good? Were you impressed by the level of autoflower quality right now?
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of good quality out there. There's a lot of guys doing a lot of really good things. It was a stiff competition. I can honestly, you know, remember sitting in the room, turning in my entries and seeing some of the other, you know, entries that were there on the table and their separated jars and labels and stuff and thinking, oh man,
you're getting worried,
you know, yeah, dude, that's cool. You know, little bit. Yeah. Not going to lie.
That's really cool, man. Congratulations for taking that. Yeah, that's I want to attend one of those, man. I should have been there. But what can you tell us about the strain that took down second?
So Bobby's Widow, like I was saying, is a White Widow cross. It is a cross between seeds of some original autos I sourced about 7 or 8 years ago. Actually, Alf number 3 and a White Widow cultivar. And it is now, the F2 are actually about done for the selection as far as like the release and from the original mother. I am working on stabilizing her. I want to get her to the public, but it won't be out to the public until it's right. I don't believe in releasing something that's not going to pass stress tests. I don't believe in getting something out there that's going to hermaphrodite on people or not produce what I'm seeing in my rooms. I just don't think that's fair. As a consumer myself, if I pay money for something, those were my expectations were set by something. I want that in return for my money. And that's what I'm waiting on there. And I do anticipate a spring to early summer release on her as long as everything continues on track the way it is. But, you know, it's never guaranteed.
Yeah, sure. When that's available, where can people find it? Is it going to be right up on the seed exchanges or should they hit you up on Instagram? How will that work?
I'll put up notice and those will go out through the banks. They'll be, I like to distribute to the seed banks. They've been good to me. Especially DCC Exchange, you know, those guys gave me my first shot. They gave me the first chance to get the seeds to the market. And, I've had really good experience with those guys. That's so cool. And Oregon Lead, of course, is, you know, they've always treated me well. And both of those will be released through them.
Nice.
It'll be released through both of them. I apologize.
Everyone listening, Mandalorian Genetics on Instagram. Give them a follow. Was there one more strain? You mentioned the Gem. You mentioned the Bobby's Widow. Was there one more?
There is one more, and it's going to be my Tiva release. And it's going to be, you know, that daytime smoke you were just talking about. Loki.
You broke up a little bit. I'm sorry. The daytime smoke we were just talking about, and then what was the next thing you said?
I was just gonna say its name is Loki OG.
Loki OG. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
It's got a great daytime smoke. It seems to provide me with a little bit of energy, a little bit of mischief in it there too, with the terpene profiles. It seems to be fruity and berry, so it just kind of seemed to fit the bill. They're nice and green, and they grow tall and slender. And they yield pretty decently.
Oh, I'm loving it, man. I got to give that a try. A close second to the savory purple indicas. Anything fruity, of course, right? Anything that has a fruit in front of it, I'm down. Now, where did you come up with Loki? Is that a nod to the god Loki, the comic book character Loki?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a nod to the god Loki. Yes.
Nice. I love it. Love it. Loki OG. Keep an eye out, everybody. Mandalorian Genetics. Cool, man. Well, what else do you want to rap about here? Talk to me about your work with Shango and all that.
So the, you know, Shango was one of the first gentlemen I met as far as like the medical community here in Washington. And he holds an event here, I think it's every 2 to 3 months, I believe, of just all these different fantastic key speakers of anything from like natural farming all the way, like tonight's event is going to be the endocannabinoid system, understanding what it means for you. And his outreach to all the patients was a way for me to get items like the Gem into those hands without them having to struggle to find something like that, because we have a little bit of a weird thing with our home grow laws here and how patients access seeds here in this state. And the only way for us to get them is to go through a licensed produced farm, and a lot of those farms don't like random people coming, because with random people coming, unfortunately, theft can happen, and then of course pests and any other multitude of things once they get on site. So this was my way to kind of, you know, get the seeds into the hands of the people here that needed them for their medicinal needs. And so that's what I've been working with, and had a conversation with him today with Sebring Seeds as well. He was part of that conversation, and we had a good time just talking about, you know, making sure the patients aren't forgotten about once everybody goes, you know, green rush and green hungry.
Right, right. Yeah, man. It's happening right now. Who said it on my podcast? Sun Grown Mids. We were talking about the Phylos controversy, and he was like, man, legalization is accomplishing what the DEA couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
Is that pretty crazy?
You know, it is. It really, really is. And that whole Phylos thing, I standing on the outside watching the fire, I don't really have a feeling one way or another other than the fact that I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to, I just, it's starting to look like a dumpster fire. And it's one of those things where, you know, just watch it from the outside and hope that it doesn't go a direction that none of us want it to go.
Totally, man. That's exactly you summed up my feelings. If you listen to the episode, it's definitely entertaining to watch. It's a little bit scary and concerning, and I hope that there are professionals on the case, much like the said dumpster fire, just like a grease fire. You hope that someone's coming to the rescue, but I ain't got a fire hose. So
exactly. Stand far enough back and point them in the direction to fix
it. Man. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of all over the place, but I don't care, man. This is an enjoyable conversation. Let's talk about your advice to people out there growing, people out there breeding, maybe. Do you have any suggestions on how to get started in breeding, how to be a better breeder, how to select good genetics, anything like that?
Sure. You know, we can go down a couple, you know, key points and some things.
Anything you think is valuable.
So, you know, first one thing, if you do want to start breeding and you want to venture down that path, the first thing that I think you should do is understand the mechanics of what you're working with. You know, stare at those plants, see how they grow, understand how they grow and what they need before you start, you know, throwing pollen at it. Wow. You start throwing pollen at it, you're really going to break out your diversity, and it's really going to start getting complicated, especially from an F1 hybrid, because there's a lot of vigor growth that happens in there, you know, and depending on how many seeds that you decide to open out of that first generation, you're going to see a whole hodgepodge of diversity.
Right.
And so first key advice I would say is, you know, understand the plant, understand the genetics you're working with, grow them out a few times to make sure you know what you're doing, or you're understanding what you're seeing, you know. Now, if you do only, say you only have 10 seeds, and those only 10, you can't go back and grow more of that same to find what you're really looking for, I always recommend at least pollinating on that first time to do a seed run. That way you can give yourself a chance to do what we all call a pheno hunt. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a good key point. You know, and there's nothing wrong with pollen chucking every now and again to figure out what's going where, but in the back of your mind, I would say, you know, stabilization is one thing you should always keep in the back of your mind.
Okay. I like that. So, and just being really selective and understanding the spices that you're putting into the stew, as opposed to just trying to wing it and hope that something comes out delicious.
Exactly. You know, this is like a chef. I mean, after a while, a chef can eyeball his spices, but at first he's not going to even try that. He's going to break out the measuring spoons.
I love it, man. Great, great analogy. Here's my question for you. Autoflowers, you can't take a cutting. Do photo breeders have this, or not even photo breeders, but like a grower who wants to hang on to the same genetics, do they have this insane luxury of just being able to take cuttings? Do autoflower breeders need to constantly be making seeds?
From my experience, pretty much.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's one of the biggest drawbacks that we hear from a lot of people is there's no clonability, which leads into the gene diversity. You know, they grow out a batch of 15 seeds, they look this way, they grow out the next batch from apparently the same line, and they look that way. So I think one of the things in stabilization and breeding is, you know, paying attention to things like symmetry. That way you can continue to produce what you've previously experienced. That's the only real way to get a true familial line looking the same in further generations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I will add one caveat, maybe sure. A tissue culture clone type situation. I know it's too expensive. It's a little ineffective right now, but maybe down the road, that'll be easier.
I hope so, because I'm really curious about that with autos. I want to know what an auto is going to do from a tissue culture, because even though, let me backtrace just a touch. You can take a cutting of an auto.
It's just going to flower, right?
Roots, it just contains a flower,
right?
So I'm curious to see if the tissue culture would result in the same thing.
Oh, right. Good point. Yeah, I should have. I don't think I asked the guy from Canomic. I think his name was. I've spoken to too many people. Canomic Labs is the name of the company. I had someone on. They talked about tissue culture cloning. They do a class. It's really, really cool. People can do it at home. I forget if I asked him that or not. I probably didn't. I also have a new episode coming up from a tissue culture guy. So stay tuned, everybody listening, and I will make sure to ask him about tissue culture cloning autos. Remember that, Jordan. Remember.
Yeah, please do, because I want to hear that episode too. I'm very curious.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. Any other breeding advice, maybe growing advice? I know you do photos as well as autos, correct?
I do. Usually I source some of my genetics when improving from photo or improving the lines from photos.
So obviously you deal with a lot of them. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, then let me ask you this. Here's a good place to kind of leave off. How do you feel about the whole photos versus autos kind of two camps warring?
I try to stay in the middle because I see the benefits from both sides. I think the whole argument is applicable to the individual's needs. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that argument comes from old mentalities and not wanting to change, and a lot of people getting on a new bandwagon and not understanding the older's ways.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
And I think that's where a lot of that headbutting comes through. I see great points for photo periods and the need for them, and I see great points for auto flowers. I love the plant in its whole. And I'm not just saying that to, you know, say it. It's just how I've honestly felt, because I get asked that question a lot, and I'm actually going to do a podcast in the future on that subject. With Growing With Your Fellow Growers.
Nice. And great. That's a fantastic show.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to speaking with Shane on that one. And it's one of those things where, you know, I don't think we really need to pick a side. I think we just need to see how it could benefit us from both sides.
So cool, man. Absolutely. And let me just say, as someone who's never grown an auto, I'm just going to make a little bit of a statement. And this just kind of popped into my head. I'm not trying to take sides. I agree with you, man. I think that we all got to get along. That's part of it. But let me just say, I feel similar about autos the same way I feel about LEDs. When I spoke to Noah Miller from Black Dog LED, he was kind of not crapping on HPS, but he was talking about how it was a dead end technology. It's this term he referred to. There's no advancement there. Whereas LEDs, he thinks, is the future because they're constantly improving this technology. They can make them more energy efficient, put out more light for less energy consumption. So it's like, I kind of feel that way about auto flowers. I feel like if we can breed and kind of, you know, manipulate all of the undesirable effects out of the auto flower and still be able to get all the desirable things, like being able to grow it without a photo period. That is the number one hassle for growing cannabis, is light, tight photo periods, right? I mean, in my opinion anyway. So do you feel that although they both serve a great need for different people, do you feel that auto flowers are kind of more the future, maybe?
I would say yes, especially the direction that they're going, because like you're saying with the LED HPS conversation, there is more minds starting to get behind it. And as more minds get behind an idea develops into something that
doesn't even resemble the past.
Exactly. And I'm not going to say it's going to overtake photos, but I could definitely see a place where it's going to be like, oh, we can run this or that. You know what I mean? Like, I really think that there'll be huge in a commercial environment in the future.
Totally.
I think it's going to be a big shift. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens with all this whole vaping thing. But in the world of extracts, I know auto flowers is hot. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a news article in High Times, you know, 5-10 years down the road, auto flowers officially accounted for 55% of the cannabis grown. You know, I think it's coming, man. I think auto flowers are just going to be more and more prevalent.
I do too, especially since people aren't turning a blind eye to them anymore because they're not the things that they were in the past. Totally. It's a whole different breed of cultivar these days.
Love it.
And I got to give a little credit to Jeff Lowenfels too, because, you know, he has got the background to give all the auto people a voice, and just to see his excitement and watch him get excited about this, to see somebody with that kind of gardening knowledge. We're talking, this guy was a columnist for, I want to say recently, I heard him say over 40 years. And if I'm wrong, Jeff, I'm sorry, but like somebody that passionate to fall in love with something that I saw had potential and everybody else saw had potential. It's just that I think the tides are starting to change.
Nice. Nice, man. I absolutely love it. Listen, this was a fantastic conversation. If anyone's looking to grow autos, you can go check out Mandalorian Genetics, check out Alf number 5, check out Anvil. That's definitely the one that interests me. Where else can they find you? Mandalorian Genetics on Instagram. What am I missing? Where can they find you?
Me personally, it's fullduplex_AFN on Instagram. And then if you go to autoflower.net under the independent breeding section, look for Mandalorian Genetics underneath there, and you can find all of my work. Everything that I've done, the strains that I've worked on and stopped, and what I'm producing in the future.
Cool, man. Fantastic. And let us know what we can do for you over here at GrowCast. Maybe there's a collaboration with autoflower.net in the future or something.
Thank you for having me on the show today, Jordan. I really appreciate it. The conversation was great, man. Hope we can have a few more in the future.
Hell yeah, man. Sounds great. Everybody listening, follow the show on Instagram @GrowCast. And did I just forget the Instagram handle? I forgot if it was GrowCast Podcast or @Grow. It's @GrowCast. Jesus Christ. And then follow me on Instagram @JordanRiverIG. You know all the things to do. The new show, Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast. Check it out. This is Dan from autoflower.net and Mandalorian Genetics and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe and grow smarter. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I want to take this post-roll time to give some shout-outs and to give some updates. Make sure you're subscribed to the Homegrown Helpers, Rob Smith's Cannabis Growing Show. Make sure you check out my new show, the Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast. We just did an incredible episode on limiting beliefs. And also write us your questions for the listener mailbag episode. If you have questions, not just about growing, but anything about podcasting, about me and Rob, about Wolfman, write us contact@growcastpodcast.com. Special shout out to Jay Blanked on this beat for the ad music. Find him on SoundCloud @Jay Blanked. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Best of luck. Happy growing.